General Failure podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 182 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of June 4th, 2019, brought to you by RadioHaver.com. This week, you can become a Snorlax, a bunch of nerds are growing new land, and, insert relevant Witcher joke here. I'm Dom, and I got with me TJ.
What up?
Fucks TJ again. He bailed on us again. So we got our buddy Sam again.
So I'm back.
I don't know what he's doing currently.
I heard something about a circus and a bunch of midgets.
Ah, gotcha.
I don't know what it
How many
involves.
Of them are shitting into a bucket?
At least three.
Ooh.
Possibly four.
That shit's popping off.
It is. So,
is it like putting clowns in a car, but it's just midget dicks in a car instead?
Right, but midgets in a shitty bucket.
I need to call out, you did say pudding.
Pudding. So they're all shit. Oh, well, that's where the shit comes
shitting.
From.
Shitting.
Yeah.
True.
It is like true.
TJ, did you get my poop joke?
Where's this math coming from? I need to do it.
Okay. So it's
like a beautiful mind.
This isn't a math podcast. We're really bad at math. We should know that by now. Remember that one time? That was bad. So let's start off this episode with a little bit of nerd news. And I got some news for everybody. At some point last week, I don't remember what day, Wednesday last week, I think, Pokemon announced, or the Pokemon Company had a weird Pokemon press conference for 15 minutes, and they announced a new mobile game.
They announced a bunch of shit.
Yeah, I don't care about anything else other than this mobile game called Pokemon Sleep. I don't know what it does. Yep, that's the correct response.
It's the Pokemon that looks like a cloth with some chloroform on it.
Yep. It's called Kids Nap Time.
Just a quick Google search.
So Pokemon Sleep does something, I assume. There's not a whole lot of information out about it, but people are really just assuming it tracks your sleep.
Yeah,
it's a sleep tracking thing. So
it's Pokemon Go, but for bedtime.
Yeah, exactly. Like Pokemon Go the Fuck to Sleep. Is what it should have been called.
Go to sleep. go to sleep.
It tracks your sleeping. I'm not going to get it because I have a watch that tracks my sleeping if I want to, and I don't really need to know how little I sleep because it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I already know how shitty I sleep. Right. It's not like it's going to correct it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
God damn
it,
Sam's watching porn again.
Guys, it's the only way I can finish.
On air.
Yep.
To be on air with two gentlemen in the room.
Yep.
Now, don't interact with me, though.
So, y'all remember how Pokemon Go came, or you could buy that little accessory called Pokemon Go Plus.
Yes.
That
the thing that
was the pedometer.
No one fucking bought.
Exactly. So, this also has another device that no one will buy, and I want to take some guesses.
It is the Pikachu butt plug.
What do you think it's called?
Oh, what it's called.
The Poke Pillow.
No.
Is my guess.
It's fucking wrong.
Does it have poke in it?
It does.
Okay.
Poke pee your bed?
That's actually really close.
Oh my god.
I already see it. I'm sorry.
It's called the Pokemon Go Plus.
That's a real thing. It says it right here. This is not a joke. It is the real actual name.
It's actually called the Pokemon Go Plus.
Why does anyone involved with Nintendo not know how to name things correctly?
This is worse than the Wii U.
Oh, yeah. No, this is 100
times
worse.
This is stupid because, A, it has nothing to do with Pokemon Go.
No.
Not at all. Now, all right. I'll take that back. From what I hear, the Pokemon Go Plus also works as a Pokemon Go Plus. Which is why it's called that. So it does the Pokemon Sleep stuff, plus does everything that the Pokemon Go Plus does.
That's too much pluses.
So why?
Also, is it like plus written out?
And then a symbol plus. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Can confirm.
Me.
So my question is, A, that's stupid.
I don't think that's a question.
B,
I was going to call him out on it.
That's stupid? B, why would you not just keep calling it the Pokemon Go Plus, or call it the Pokemon Sleep Plus?
Yeah, like a new Pokemon Go Plus.
Literally anything would have been better.
Pokemon Go Plus Ultra?
Yeah, just replace everything that just replace the Pokemon Go Plus with this, and just keep calling it the Pokemon Go Plus, that way it won't confuse anybody.
Or the Pokemon Go to Sleep?
Right, exactly. Anything. Call it the new Pokemon Go Plus. Call it fucking Pokemon Go Plus 2. I don't care what you call it.
Go
not
minus.
Not that. Go, yeah, the Pokemon Go minus. That's actually what I thought you were going to guess, TJ. I thought you were going to say the Pokemon Go minus.
Oh, Jesus. No, I didn't think it was
Pokemon Go away.
But it's worse. It's worse than you thought.
Plus, plus. I wonder if it'll look like that, the little
the Pokewalker?
Pokemon, no, the ripoff Pikachu that has the plus sign on it. Plusle?
Minion.
Oh. Minion and minus. Minion plus
the minus, yeah.
It just looks like a Pokeball. This is like a little flat, stupid thing.
Fuck me. Wow, they really put no energy in
this. The only thing that they show is, like, it's on the kid's pillow. So I have to assume that, like, every other device that's out there now...
It smothers your kid.
It smothers your kid, and then you can finally get a good night's sleep.
That's the whole story.
I want that commercial.
Yeah. Oh, I can just imagine that it's all it does is fucking... monitor your sleep, which many devices out there that do that.
Your phone, you can just leave your phone on your bed, right, and it'll do it.
Exactly. Just plug your phone in and leave it on your pillow, and it will do it. You have $60, $30 Fitbits that do it.
Yeah.
You know, like...
It is the dumbest shit in the world.
I'm seeing a comment here that someone, like, because the mascot for it is a Snorlax, but someone's like, I'm really bummed out that it's not Jigglypuff.
That's what everyone was saying. Like, because if
it was like a little button that looked like Jigglypuff, and it literally just went Jigglypuff as you sing, it, like in the singing
sang
thing.
Sleep. Yeah, it's a song. I'd go sleep with that. It'd be a little creepy. You wake up,
only a little bit.
Staring at you.
Fucking throw it in the closet like you did with your Furby. Shut up.
And then you somewhat break it, and then it's just like, Furby!
Turns into death metal Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff!
I have no information on when this comes out. I have...
Probably never.
Yeah, and it's not that, like, I don't know if information is available. I just don't care. This is so stupid that, like... All right, I get... It's... I don't know. No, I don't get it. It's trying to get kids to sleep properly. Like, all right, fucking 2 years, we're gonna have Pokemon eat your fucking fruits and vegetables. Like, seriously.
It looks... The picture they came out with it for Pokemon Sleep... It's got the same, like, line thing as that multivitamin for men.
Oh, Centrum. Yeah. Holy shit.
It's got the same fucking thing.
That's what it is.
Pokemon Centrum for men.
I fucking eat it. It found me gummies.
Pokemon.
You know what? How have they not come out with Pokemon vitamins yet for kids? Like...
I guess don't get hooked on...
Dear Google.
Pokemon.
Flintstone vitamins cannot... Drugs. But Flintstone vitamins can't possibly exist anymore. Why would they? Why do they not have Pokemon vitamins or fucking Shrek vitamins or SpongeBob or something?
It's also a dumb idea because there are not like a dumb thing that they haven't done it because there are like actual vitamins in the game.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, like rare candies.
Yeah, there's rare candies, but there's like Attack Up and like there's Attack vitamins. X, Speed X. They're actual vitamins. There's crack. There's whatever.
Huh. I'd rather they probably just don't want to get in the drug game.
I don't know about that.
I have a follow-up question. Why not? There's so much money in that fucking drug game. Are you kidding me?
Well, they're not terrible people?
I guess I can't disagree with that.
EA over this.
But
though.
Now I just want to have a Pokemon game that's central to Boulder, where it's like where you have like the two things. I don't know what the other one would be, but it would be Pokemon Boulder and Pokemon
like Boulder,
blah, blah,
Colorado?
Yeah. And it's all just weed stuff. Like you literally go into
Pokemon Boulder and Pokemon Seattle.
Into the tall grass. And
I would not doubt that is a game somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a fucking flash game on Newgrounds.
Yeah, no, right? That sounds like it.
So, this is the stupidest thing ever. Yeah, I got nothing else to say. I just think it's fucking dumb. So, let's move on to a little bit of Geek On, Geek Off. TJ, you got something for us.
So, yeah, Euro Truck Simulator 2.
I'm sorry, say that again.
You're a truck.
You're a truck. Fuck you. Don't call me a truck.
So, all right. This is different from American Truck Simulator?
Yes. It is European Truck Simulator.
I hope the only difference in the game is that the steering wheel's on the other side.
I was going to say the HUD is flipped around. Yeah.
That's it.
Like, and it's not even done well. It's like the numbers are just backwards.
Yeah, it's just horizontal flip.
They just switched all the road. You just go backwards on the road. Euro Truck Simulator 2 is a thing. And B, these fucking simulator games do so well, which is ridiculous that people love Train Simulator. What the fuck?
Now, I think that's a bad example because...
Goat Simulator.
Yeah, Goat Simulator is a good example.
Yeah, but what the fuck?
Goat Simulator is fun.
But Train Simulator, I can kind of understand. Solely for the fact of... Not everybody can go and drive a big train. You can't go and conduct a train.
You're not doing anything.
You're simulating conducting a train, and not everybody can do that.
Fuck
truck
me.
Simulator, on the other hand, is fucking stupid. Farm simulator is stupid. You can go outside and farm, you idiot.
Well, I mean, it's a different Minecraft, I guess. No, you can't really build stuff out of blocks.
I can't go and kill a pig with a diamond sword in real life. You know what?
Well,
maybe I could.
Well, not with that attitude.
It probably wouldn't be as easy as it would be in Minecraft.
Probably not. There's a lot more blood. It's just a mess.
Assert dominance, receive pork chop.
So your truck simulator too, they have a GPS in there and it comes in different languages and stuff. Geralt from the Witcher series is now a fucking option to use on the GPS for your truck simulator
too. This is fucking everything.
Alright, so when I saw
it, it is a Polish based game thing in the world. Like the it's based on a Polish book series from what I understand.
What, The Witcher? Yeah. Or Euro Truck Simulator?
Euro Truck Simulator.
Yeah, there's an entire classic book series about fixing your trucks.
I drive straight.
It's just a very misfortunate translation issue.
So when you put this on the dock, I'm glad it's in a video game. I thought you meant that this was like a voice for your GPS, like 15 years ago when we all had our TomToms and everybody had Darth Vader and fucking Eric Cartman as their GPS voice.
John Cleese.
Yeah, John
Mark Zuckerberg
Cleese.
Apparently has fucking famous black dude.
Wow.
Morgan Freeman. See, I know his thinly veiled racism.
Jesus.
Apparently he's got him as a GPS.
I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Peace. He'll also say lines from, he'll just like sneak in stuff from the game. Like,
there's a fucking dragon over there, I assume. I don't know.
5 miles toward your next turn into Portal Street. I hate portals. Because he just said he hates portals. It's a whole part of the game. A, go play the Witcher games. And B, apparently, go play your truck simulator too.
Go play the Witcher game so you can finally get the Euro Truck Simulator references.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like,
you'll know what you've been missing out on for the past 15 years.
You'll know why he hates portals so much.
Yep. So go buy Euro Truck Simulator too, because totally worth it.
Yeah, clearly. Just go fix your own stupid truck. All right, Sam, you got something for us?
Yeah, I do. So, there's a, do you want to go with the Taz thing
first? I don't
first,
give a or, shit. You do whatever you want to do. All right, well, this is your time.
This is my time. I'm going to go with a design thing, guys. Because I feel like I should be bringing design stuff and not just D&D stuff. Not to mention, TJ took literally all of my D&D
Fuck
options
you, bitch.
From last week.
I got on it first.
That piece of shit. Okay, so apparently, MIT, they have a thing called their self-assembly lab, and they may have found a way to grow islands using wave energy built up by natural disasters. So you have a big ass earthquake out in the ocean that's going to make a lot of waves, and that's generally not very safe. So what these guys are
like
doing,
they're jumping in the ocean,
right?
Yes.
So yeah, a fat joke I got there.
Very topical yo mama joke from TJ. Essentially, these guys are trying to harness it, and the quote here is, "It has always been on my mind that maybe we could take these natural disasters, earthquakes, tsunamis, windstorms, mudslides, landslides, fires, and build instead of destroy." So what they're doing is they're causing it to guide the sand into building up actual, like, sandbars and small islands, and what this can do...
So what's the thing? Like, is it like a thing you put in the ocean?
It's just kind of like a series of quote, low cost, easy to deploy and adaptable underwater ramps, which is a super simple thing that apparently
you
is
know
helping
why
to build
low cost?
These things.
Because they're taking ramps? All the handicap ramps away from all the schools and they're just putting them underground.
Well, I was thinking they got a bunch of kids with some plywood making skateboard ramps.
Yeah. Just throw the kids under the water.
So is this
supposed to dissipate the waves and then use the energy from them? Or are they still going to be fucked with tsunamis and stuff?
It's still going to hit, but it's going to hit the sand into the ramps and start to build up buildups. And that will make piles of sand, but guided piles of sand, so that you're building up actual sandbars and islands, and you do this off the coast of coastal, like, towns and stuff like that, and communities and stuff. So what it should do is be this an adaptable solution to protecting these coastal communities.
Right. So when an earthquake hits again and the waves come in, they'll be guided away from the town instead of straight into it.
Or even if it's not to guide the waves, it gives them something to hit first. Yeah. So it'll help break away a lot of the waves as
so
they come in.
This will be a long-term process. So, like, the first time it happens...
Go forward with it.
Well, yeah, but
once you said that, the first thing I looked at on this article was, quote, very long-term project.
Because I imagine that the first time this happens, those waves will still be dangerous and everyone will still be fucked, but the next generation of people will be a little bit better off.
Stuff like this is... reminds me of CES, where like they just come out with like the craziest fucking shit in the world
and then it never happens,
and then it never fucking happens, but it's cool to see like they could kind of do this.
It's an awesome idea for sure.
It also builds up the beaches that get destroyed, right.
Exactly,
and
it's helping
towns,
to protect them from getting destroyed in the first place.
And a lot of these towns, you know, a lot of them work on tourism as well.
But I do agree with you. This is MIT, so MIT's always coming up with awesome stuff.
Yeah.
But
how much of it actually gets implemented?
When it's where is it applicable? And more importantly, who's actually going to pay for it?
Sure.
MIT can't afford to pay for this, so you're going to rely on some sort of funding. And
it's government funding.
It's government funding, so there is zero chance that's happening.
So apparently, I'm actually going to read a whole paragraph, guys. So it seems to be the last paragraph of this thing. So the team installed a 9.8 by 9.8 foot structure. I don't know why they didn't just go with 10 by 10.
Yeah,
it's
really.
It's like right there.
Because they want to be assholes.
They did the math.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I imagine so. So a 9.8 by 9.8 foot structure in the Maldives. This February.
Diving on your mother.
And are currently monitoring it and collecting data to analyze the sand accumulation with the goal of installing a second experimental structure by the year's end. This is the first, this is the quote, this is the first phase of a multi-year project with various field experiments and years of data collection, all with the aim to create a system of submersible structures that can adapt to the dynamic weather and wave conditions and naturally grow our coastlines. We envision far-reaching applications for rebuilding and stabilizing heavily populated coastlines and vulnerable island nations with our approach.
I feel like...
That's
with
pretty cool.
Nine by 9 foot, like
9.8 by 9.8 foot.
It's almost 10 by 10. TJ, come on.
By 10 foot structure, they could have done this in like a fucking like airplane hangar, and just like
simulated.
Yeah, simulated the goddamn thing.
But why simulate it when you have an actual beach, an actual the ocean?
Because some asshole's gonna go by and just take the goddamn thing. And go.
Yeah. I'm on your skateboard ramp.
I'm pretty sure it's put out.
We shouldn't have made them 9.8 by 9.8 feet.
It was perfect for a skateboard.
Damn skater punks! It seems to be pretty far off the coast. So I don't think that's going to be...
Like, at least 10 feet. At least 9.8
feet. Whoever lives in the Maldives, go fucking diving for this fucking thing and go find it. And just...
Watch it backfire and just makes the waves way worse, because now they just have like a ramp to go up.
It's like a...
Could be a thing,
water
hoping no.
And shit when... You know, people stand next to when it comes down, just fucking splashes everywhere.
Just like that.
But your entire town's gone.
Well, hopefully it works out.
That'd be great.
So I have some more stuff.
No,
you're right. Fuck everything. Goodbye.
Bye.
So we talk a lot about Tesla. I feel like there's always something new that Tesla is doing.
The hot topic.
Yeah. So Tesla has been obviously making their crazy cars with their crazy displays and all their crazy stuff in it for the past, I don't know how long.
They just announced a truck for under $50,000, I think.
Something like that, yeah. It's actually surprising how affordable their cars are, because you would expect them to be
Affordable compared to other cars, but cars in the grand scheme of things are fucking not affordable.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Compared to other cars in its class.
Yeah.
A $50,000 Tesla truck... If you go and get a brand new like Ford F-350 or something, that's going to run you almost $50,000. So like you would think that like, OK, my, you know, $15,000 Nissan Altima, the Tesla version of that would be like $80,000. It's just not like that. They're pretty comparable in terms of price.
I lease.
You lease. Oh, so how much does your car cost?
Too much.
And you can't drive it anywhere because you got mileage limits.
Yep.
So they've been putting the Unity engine in their cars displays just to prove that they can.
Why not?
They did. They added Atari games. I think at some point they were putting Doom in it because it was a joke to put Doom in it. And they've been working with Unity and they've been working with Unreal Engine to port those into the car displays.
Of course. Why the fuck would you need Unreal Engine in a car display?
Yep.
Lifelike do you need a car display?
Yeah, exactly. So they've got
they're running Gran Turismo as their GPS.
This Pimp My Ride from fucking 2003.
They have Unity currently working, and they just unveiled that they have Cuphead working on their displays. Jesus. Now,
this is getting dangerous though, because like,
well, see,
regular people do this.
That's exactly the thing. Is like, this is one of those things where I'm like, this is really cool. There is zero plausible application for this at all. This is completely irrelevant to anything. And as far as I'm concerned,
it's a PR stunt.
Right. But that's exactly it. Like, you don't need this. This is totally unnecessary. And if you have the time and the manpower and the resources to be doing this, why don't you allocate those somewhere better?
You'd be shocked how much a PR stunt that goes well will bring in more money and more.
Sorry. This is going to go horribly wrong because people are going to try and play Cuphead while they're driving.
True. Very true. I mean, people fucking go to sleep because they have the auto drive function on, right, not knowing that you're not supposed to even take your hands off the wheels.
Like, it's partially Tesla's fault for somehow forgetting that people are idiots. Like, yeah, you have to understand that people are stupid. I'm sure there'll be a safety feature where you can't load up the games and play them while you're driving, but
they have them now.
Yeah, you can't fucking connect your phone to a Bluetooth while you're driving. You can't use your GPS that's built into the car while you're driving. You have to come to a stop. People are gonna find ways around it, first of all, and second of all, it's just stupid. Like,
there's a way around it built into your iPhone. It goes, I'm not driving.
Right. Exactly. You press the button. I'm not driving.
You shouldn't be opening your phone if you're not, like, no notifications if you're not driving. Yeah. I'm not, though.
I'm not a passenger.
Like, it's just the way that I look deception. At it is I want to know how much money they've spent on R&Ding and developing these things. Unless there's some like grand scheme that we don't know about yet that they're planning, but it doesn't seem like it.
It could be.
It certainly seems like they're just putting video games in their car to be like, we can put video games in our car. And it's
think so. Well, Tesla lives on PR right now.
I know. Well, yeah. And Elon Musk isn't doing so great.
Yeah. And also with, you know, news of some of the factory workers coming back and being like, we're overworked. We don't have the equipment we need.
Yeah, I spent 96 hours this week working on Cuphead. Like,
yeah. It's something that PR.
You were just playing George.
It's something that, you know, press releases and stuff like that can kind of sweep that stuff under the table because, you know, with news, it's very quick.
Yeah.
You know, you can remember one thing and then forget it when the new thing comes.
As far as I'm concerned, you should be putting that money and that R&D time into making your cars more affordable, more efficient, safer, so that instead of having to come out and say, hey, we got Cuphead, we got Doom in our fucking cars, you could say, hey, our car is not going to crash into people and kill them, and it also gets 100 miles to the gallon, and...
You'd be shocked. It was probably some intern.
Well, fuck him. He should get fired and he shouldn't be paid for his work. Just like all interns.
Wait, I was getting paid?
I do not endorse that.
And unpaid interns? Yeah, I don't think anyone endorses it.
Interns need money.
Of companies.
Yeah, I just think it's stupid. I think that they really could be doing much better things with their time instead of putting video games in their cars. As much as I love video games, I am anti-video game in this turn, in this specific scenario. All right, Sam, you got something else for us?
Yes. I do. It's just a quick little plug, actually, weirdly, for the Adventure Zone. If anyone doesn't know the Adventure Zone, it's real good. It's the McElroy brothers. They do Mabim Bam, my brother and me. They do Monster Factory on YouTube. Like,
they're all brothers, and the father is involved with the Adventure Zone as well.
Clint has been in radio for like 40 years. He's actually retired relatively recently because he's now like he's making enough money on on the podcast. They're real good.
Yeah.
But the Adventure Zone is their D&D based podcast. Surprise. I'm talking about D&D.
You son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. But they have become so popular that they've started turning them into graphic novels,
which is awesome.
And they released the first one, based on the first major arc in their first campaign, Balance, which was called Here There Be Gerblins. And that was released, I want to say last year around this time.
Yeah. Around this time.
Actually Lauren and I went and went to the book release. And it was super cool because even though it was a bummer that Travis and Justin had their flight physically turned around midair because of weather, they got Lin-Manuel Miranda to come out and read the parts for Taco, which
was super awesome.
Fucking cool.
I actually think I heard that episode.
Yeah, it was awesome. So they now have pre-orders available for their second arc, which is called The Murder on the Rockport Limited, which is
one of my favorites.
It's a super good one. It's a train murder mystery, and it you know introduces like everybody's favorite side character, Angus McDonald.
Yep.
I mean, I do love Cassidy from 11th Hour, the crazy one.
Oh yeah,
Gerblins. Oh, that one. God. Yeah, I fucking love her.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, it's coming out.
My favorite's Tom Baudet.
Tom Baudet is another very good one. Yeah.
From Motel 6.
From Motel 6. Rockport is actually a town full of Tom Baudets.
Yes. I think I
top to
that.
Bottom.
In Canada. So, it comes out July 16th, and it's produced. Clint, the dad, Clint McElroy, he's the main person like adapting them into graphic novel form because he has also like written comic books in the past.
Because of course he has.
Because of course
this man
he has.
Can do everything.
Anything and everything. But this installment has a little bit of everything. A genius child detective, an axe wielding professional wrestler, a surly wizard, cursed magical artifacts, and a pair of meat monsters. You know, the usual things you find on a train.
If you've listened to a lot of D&D podcasts or if say, for instance, Critical Role, and you want something a little bit lighter, the Adventure Zone is definitely up your alley. It's very funny. It's a lot more funny. It's a lot more.
It's also edited down. So like not edited down to like remove things per se. It's more like rule checkups and stuff like that. So like anytime I love Critical Role. I've seen the entire first season. I need to finish the second season. I'm really bad at catching up on that so far, but like I have most of their autographs in my player's handbook, and you know, but they're big meaty episodes. They average at like 4 hours,
huge,
4 hours an episode, and then these
Which
ones
they didn't do too bad with the podcast versions of them. They cut down really well, but with the ones on YouTube, it's a full fucking stream. Yeah. Yep. So
and you're gonna get half an hour of like
arguing over the rules.
Well, I just mean pardon us while we go to the bathroom and take a break. Like, and that's fine.
Because we're
doing
a full-time work of, like, voice acting.
Right, and then if you want to watch it live, which is the fun option with that, you can watch it on Twitch and Alpha. But that's, like, out here, that's 7 p.m. No, sorry, 10 p.m. because it's 7 p.m. in California.
Yeah, and then you spend 4 hours watching that.
Yeah.
Granted, there are many critters that live in Europe, and they... they're
also
watching
live.
It live there, which is insane. So Taz is a lot shorter because they essentially take that same 4 hour thing and they turn it into four episodes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then they also trim it down with editing. Just to kind
so
of speed
really
it up
that,
a little
that
bit.
4 hour thing probably equals about like a little under three episodes when all is said and done.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also they start with almost no knowledge when they start the podcast.
Griffin had never DM'd.
No.
Travis had played the most and it was like three different times. Yeah. And then Justin hadn't really played. And Clint, despite being like the biggest nerd
in the world,
had never played because no one ever wanted to play with him when he was a kid. Play D&D. I'm sure he had friends,
he had no friends.
Let the record show, Clint McElroy
never had friends.
But like they did this thing that started out with the starter set, right? The Lost Minds of Phandelver.
They take characters from the almost from the starter set, mm-hmm. and just kind of change it to fit their personalities.
Yep.
And then they just make this an incredible story along the way.
It's insane to listen to. Like I've actually been listening to it for a third time now.
Oh yeah, I've gone through it multiple times too.
I'm like on the finale for my third time, and I remember hearing in one of the the Adventure Zone zones, which is like where they talk about the Adventure Zone.
They talk about their own show. We need those
when they do like recaps and stuff, which is just the funniest name for that possible. But they were talking about how, you know, Griffin is like, people will constantly say things like, it's changed my life. Like it's so poignant, and there are such like powerful moments. I no shit, guys. Like within the past couple weeks, I was listening to one of the episodes in tears in the car.
Oh yeah.
It just hit me so fucking hard because that happens. But then these people are like introduced, like they introduce it to their friends, and their friends listen to it, and the first few episodes are like dicks, buttholes, and you're like, what?
I thought this was an emotional ride, yeah. Not like dick jokes every 30 seconds.
But then, like when you go back and you listen to it for the second time, you figure out these little things that, like, from the
little dick jokes,
these little dick jokes, these little elements that Griffin puts in. God, dicks everywhere with all of these implied things.
Yep.
Implied dicks. Much better than implode dicks, which I had a bad case of once. It was awful.
but they like end up tracking to like the very end. Like they just,
yeah.
He's just like dropping them in as these little like breadcrumbs for. I switched it to breadcrumbs instead of things.
Don't call my dick a breadcrumb. Go a little bit bigger than that.
But he starts dropping these breadcrumbs into the lost minds of Phandelver because he realized so quickly, this isn't what I really want to run.
Yeah.
I want to do my own story. And then when they start taking off, really the Murder on the Rockport Limited
is like their first, his own creation adventure kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's just, it's great. It's a lot of fun. They're still finding their way. And then Crystal Kingdom, I think, is the third one, right? No, that's Pedals to the Metal. Yeah. But like
Crystal Kingdom is the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
Yes. Accurate.
We actually might have made that joke before.
But if you're new to D&D, if you just want something more lighthearted than like Critical Role, I highly suggest the podcast and also the books they've adapted. Not word for word, but a lot of it.
Some of them they had to switch like character names that they had taken from the Lost Minds of Phandelver to be their own character names and stuff. But like the artist is Carrie Peach, and she is great.
It's fantastic.
I actually got her signature because she was sitting like right in front of Lauren and I at the show, mm-hmm. and we were able to get her signature in the book. It was awesome.
Yeah, they're great comic. I highly suggest getting the first one and pick up the second one July 16th.
Yep.
Sweet. That's awesome. A day after my birthday.
Woohoo!
Nice.
TJ, you got something for us too?
I just got a quick D&D thing as well. For Kickstarter, there's you motherfucker.
Dang!
The Dungeon Notebook is running a Kickstarter for the Tome of Delving. It's a character sheet specialization notebook, so it's something that, instead of having all these paper sheets everywhere and you're kind of losing them, they're getting destroyed, it's one notebook that has everything you need in it. It's got two pages for character details, like backgrounds, classes, stuff like that. Six pages for racial traits, classes, abilities, feats.
Six pages of racial traits? God damn.
There's a bunch of pages for tracking ammunition or tracking your equipment.
There's a lot of pages for that because... Let me tell you, my sheets are always like back in front. I'm just like jotting shit down. I'm like, I got no more room to.
Especially for items and stuff, you just jot down real quick and then they're gone.
Yeah. I have like a separate notebook just for my inventory to keep it all in track.
There's pages for, depending on what class you're using, there's pages in there to keep track of stuff like that. There's pages for tracking NPCs.
Mm-hmm. So there's a bag of holding NPCs Doritos.
Oh man, that'd be great. There's 10 pages of like hex grid. So if you want to do like an overmap.
Nice.
So you can just kind of draw in there as well. There's 50 pages as blank notes for whatever you need.
There was also what I saw was like grid paper. Like it looked like you could draw your character.
Yeah, that's the hex grid.
No, there's hex grid, and then there was also, like, typical, like, graph paper type stuff.
Yeah, no, there is a paper that you can draw out your character as well. There's also a bunch of pages for like common stuff that comes up when you're trying to look up stuff. So like conditions at what you can do in action.
What does poisoned actually do to me?
Oh, it poisons me. All right.
Poisons me. What does that mean? Oh, disadvantage on everything.
Yeah, more or less. So if you're looking for something that is just, you know, one notebook for one character, like, and you, there's, things that you can do to like buy multiple books and stuff like that.
Buy my book.
But especially if you have a long running campaign, it can be very messy after a while. And also it's nice to have that one notebook. So you can be like, my entire campaign
right.
is here.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't need to bring out anything else, especially for the quick lookup of like conditions and stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't have to bring out a player's handbook, get all that all over the place. Right.
Cause so that time just
is it slows up. Down a campaign. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And, it'll be a paperback, so it'll bend and move and stuff like that. So, go check out, it's the Tome of Delving by the Dungeon Notebook. It's also a local place for us. So, check it out.
I assume this will be on sale at some point if you do, even if you don't Kickstarter, because their Kickstarter goal is almost met and it really wasn't that high to begin with. It was only $1,800. Oh, it's done.
2,000 out of 1,800.
Wow. It was not done when I checked this afternoon.
44 days to go.
They tried this, I think, a year ago, and it didn't actually meet.
Yeah. All I'll say is I think this is an awesome idea.
And it's $18.
That's not bad.
No, for a full notebook of...
And you need it's one campaign. So, like, when you're done with that campaign in a few months and you want to run another one, you just buy a second book. And, like, now you have, like, a history of all of your characters.
Or if you're running huge campaigns that take years and years and years, you can see, like, the history of everything.
Yeah.
And you have a place that you can go back and look at whatever you need to.
I think it's awesome.
Some of these stretch goals are pretty cool. Like, the first one... which happens in like $1,000 is like original color, cover illustration. Mm-hmm. Then there's like hardcover with Smith sewn binding.
Mm.
It's cool. They actually show you like the binding.
Two bookmark ribbons, like
dust
fabric
jacket.
Cover and dust jacket. I don't know what the fuck double rewards means.
I'm
assuming it means two of things.
I guess
I'll take it. I already grabbed the pledge for $36. You get two of them.
That's awesome.
So one for a main character and then one.
Oh, it scales up by $18 every time. Cool.
Yeah.
$4 savings. Nope. Never mind. No dollar savings.
$0 savings.
$0 savings.
In your name in the honor roll, apparently. So go check it out.
I never got that in high school.
Go check out the Tome of Delving. $18 and you get a notebook that you keep everything in.
Sweet.
So go check it out.
I gotta say, I saw that cover. It looked pretty fucking baller.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, right? I'm excited.
All right. Sam, you had something you wanted to read to us? At the end of the show.
Did I?
Something about a fucking bed.
Oh my god, yes. Thank you so much for this gift. So. Wait. No. I gotta find it now. God damn it.
You motherfucker.
Okay, so I found this on Core 77 because I realized that I'm a designer and I should start looking at design websites more. And like,
so instead he's going to tell us a story.
Staying more up to date. Well, it's a design-based story, Dom.
God.
And you ran into something that
I sure
Ford
did.
Is
so here's
turning heads with.
Here is the title of the article. Ford, yes, the car company, invents a conveyor belt based bed for couples. It makes bed hogging impossible.
First of all, that's the longest fucking headline ever.
Well, that bed hogging thing was like the little subtitle kind of thing. So I am going to read this article because it's just three like small paragraphs, but it's fucking. It's a gift. Okay, so as every couple that shares a bed knows, there is an imaginary 50-yard line down the middle of that bed, and both parties can get a good night's sleep if there are no advances or losses in territory. When one partner crosses that DMZ, unconsciously thrashing about in the throes of a spicy Thai food-driven nightmare, they're literally in for a rude awakening.
So your bedroom is North and South Korea.
Correct.
If you want to go there, yes.
First of all, there's no 50-yard line on my bed because the cat takes up like... 30% at least.
I think this is like couples without cats. Like otherwise, then you've got 25
first of all,
yard lines.
Are there couples without cats? I would love to meet one. Exactly. You can't even name one.
Not even a single
all
one.
All couples have cats.
Even if they don't know about it.
Proven. Exactly. Yeah.
You just get one.
You can never prove you don't own a cat.
Exactly. That's true. You never find it.
Because if they don't want to be found, they're not going to be found.
And you can also be adopted very quickly by a cat.
Can confirm.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, it's not the world's most pressing problem, but Ford's designers and engineers had a bit of fun with the phenomenon by devising the lane-keeping bed, which uses the same lane-keeping sensors that are in their cars to monitor when one sleeper has crossed into another's lane.
Man, I am just wet for this.
Then a conveyor belt-like surface corrects the situation. So there's a video on it.
Holy shit, the video's amazing.
It's so good.
You remember that video with the guy who's explaining the retro encabulator, who's just making shit up? I want to hear him explain this fucking bed.
Because the way it looks is like you just all of a sudden just roll over on the other side persons of the bed, and then it moves it like just conveyor belts to the side.
Now, it's not conveyor belting in the way that I thought it would, which would be like, no, you have to go over here now. Right. It moves both people towards the... So let's say you've got A and B, and B rolls towards the middle. It moves towards B's side so that A can still can roll away and not get furnaced by another human body. And then they have room to escape. And they're not driven to the edge of the bed by this sudden incursion on territory.
So
speaking of pets, what if your pet just keeps crossing over and you're just like, fuck.
Yeah. All night long. You're just like, fucking road. It's like the hot dog machine at a 7-Eleven. You're just rolling around in your bed. So my question is, it's not really a question. Yeah. Why? This seems like why? Not the best solution for what they're trying to solution.
No.
Like, to me...
It feels like it was a bunch of the guys, like, after work just hanging out in one of the factories
and going... way too much beer.
I feel like that's the situation.
Yeah.
Like, this is not something that I think... Like, nowhere in this does it say anything about, like, coming to market in 2023. Yeah. Like, nothing like... Which would be very far.
To me, what I think would make more sense is, like, if the bed was kind of, like... Basically, you know, two twin beds put together, like two separate, sort of separate mattresses. Like
the ones that raise up and down.
Exactly, yeah, like the whatever those called.
Tempur-Pedic,
and that's not what it is.
Sleep number?
Sleep number beds.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a sleep number bed, but horizontal, so it lifts up in the middle, so if you start rolling over, it just lifts your side up and rolls your ass back to the other side.
Maybe there's and then it goes back down, so when the dogs and cats try to sleep there, they just get squished.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe there should be, like, bumpers on the side so you don't go rolling off the bed or something, but it just seems way more practical than a fucking conveyor
belt.
That's
a different kind of lane. That's a bowling lane.
That is. So let's invent the bowling lane bed, and let's pitch it to Chevy, and we can start ourselves a bed war.
Let's do it. A betting war.
A betting war.
Jesus Christ.
Every show needs a Travis. So that, I mean, it's got this, like, super high fashion design, like, bed frame
it
to
it. It looks stupid.
It looks very, really very angular and pointy. I feel
like that is the bed you are going to run your feet into constantly.
Yep.
Yep.
But go check that out because it's the greatest video I've ever seen in my life.
If you ever wanted to know what it was like to live at a 7-Eleven and be a hot dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now
this is your trans.
That's on core77.com.
All right. That is all for us this week. Don't forget to check us out on genfailcast.com. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at genfailcast. Like and subscribe to us on Twitch and YouTube. And if you like what you've heard from us, consider leaving us an iTunes review.
It really helps.
It really helps. And reach out to us with any questions or topics you'd like us to discuss, and we'll discuss them on air. Everybody say bye.
Bye.